This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana on a beautiful day in paradise. It's great weather and crisp day, and in studio to start a conversation, two gentlemen affiliated with the United States Army War College, General Skip Phillips, who's a partner at Taylor Porter, who's been practicing law for many years, graduate of LSU, class of 72, and he served in the armed forces for 36 years, and he is joined by Colonel Eric Kreider, who is affiliated with the U.S. Army War College, and he was with us a few years ago. For those unacquainted, the War College is an educational institution, Carlisle, Pennsylvania, 500-acre campus, and it is really an honor to be affiliated with the United States Army War College, and they make the rounds, and Baton Rouge is one of the stops. Of course, LSU is a university, as is Southern, that has military activity both on both campuses, and Skip Phillips can speak to that directly. And why don't we begin with you? You ramped up and got in the game when others were not. There was a thing called Vietnam going on at that time.
That's true, Jim. I was at LSU when Vietnam was going on. I graduated in 72, and during that time, our ROTC was compulsory when I started at LSU. And for the first 2 years, we all male students participated in either Army or Air Force ROTC. And then it was no longer compulsory, and a number of us stayed on in a voluntary status and got commissioned and went on to careers in the military for some lengths of time.
You've had this great career and as a partner at Taylor Porter, but you still, I think in your heart of hearts, you consider yourself a military guy, don't you?
I was just telling someone in your lobby that if they hadn't made me retire, I'd still be trying to do it.
So after 36 years, they said enough is enough, right?
We from the moment you get commissioned, you sort of know what your last day on duty is going to be, which is a good thing because we've got to have a target to work against. And as you get promoted, that gets extended. But, 36 years, it was time to go home.
Now, Colonel Kreider has been with us before, and you are with him, and he's making the rounds. He's not only here, you talk about a ubiquitous presence. You'll see him all over town today.
Absolutely, Jim. Well, thank you for having us back there. It's always a pleasure to be back in Louisiana and Baton Rouge, and specifically at LSU. We look forward to this trip every year.
I see a lot of ribbons there. So you've been around. You're not as old as Skip, and I'm thinking you're as old as I am, and I'm not far behind Skip. But how did you get involved in the U.S. military?
So I went to Georgia College, which is in Milledgeville, Georgia. I was working on a banking career with an undergraduate in accounting, and I'm going to start my MBA. I came from a family of long service in the military. My father in the Navy, my uncle in the Air Force, and so I decided that I wanted to serve. So I went into ROTC and joined the Army, and have enjoyed it for the last 26 years.
Well, according to the U.S. Army Regulation 1044, the mission of the War College is, quote, to prepare selected military, civilian, and international leaders for the responsibilities of strategic leadership, educate current and future leaders on the development and employment of land power in a joint multinational and interagency environment, conduct research and publish on national security and military strategy, and engage in activities in support of the Army's strategic communication efforts. That's a mouthful, but you have all kinds of people who go through the War College. How do you get chosen?
So, Jim, thank you. It's about the top 10% of the year group of lieutenant colonels and junior colonels. It's the last formal education that they receive as commissioned officers. Most of them have spent 18 to 20 years doing operational activities, and this is their first opportunity to take a look at the strategic level, the enterprise level, and we make that transition for them either at the resident course at the Army War College or a distance course over 2 years that Major General Retired Phillips is a graduate of.
Well, it's a very selective process, Jim. It's a board of officers reviews records and selects people to go. So it's not a school at which you can simply enroll. You have to be chosen. And that's a very intense process for these officers, and it is also a prerequisite for promotion to general officer in the Army. So we're really narrowing the funnel.
You're training generals.
We're training strategic thinkers and strategic leaders to be the next uniformed senior officers, yes.
And at what point did you get chosen?
I got chosen as a senior lieutenant colonel, and that would have been in about 1997. And I did the distance education program that Colonel Kreider mm-hmm. just mentioned. So it's a two-year program, and you spend some time in Carlisle, and you spend some time at home studying and working and writing. So.
And at the same time, you were practicing law.
Same time I was practicing law. My wife will tell you I was helping, marginally help raising two beautiful children, and I was commanding an Army Reserve unit at the same time. So it was a busy time.
Yeah, and there were only so many hours in the day. I'm sure there were days when you felt like you needed another hour or two.
There were days when I needed many, many hours, that you figure out a way to manage it.
Well, Colonel, you've been doing this, what, 4 years now?
About 4 years.
Four years.
Yeah, 2 years as an instructor, and now I'm the chief of staff for the Army mm-hmm. War College, and process and talent management resources are most of my day, but I do have the pleasure to be a part of the Eisenhower program.
Well, you guys instill character and discipline in others, and obviously have it yourself, and those in some cases are lost attributes in our society. Do you think that the War College, even for a seasoned military professional, is something that brings it to a new level?
I certainly do. It's an opportunity. Most of these officers have been running hard around the world, accomplishing the missions that are directed to them at the operational level. This is really an opportunity to pull them back, start thinking about the enterprise, about the strategic level, about how to be an advisor to political appointees, to senior general mm-hmm. officers, and an opportunity for them to reflect and to think about those types of issues and problems and be prepared for them, because very quickly after that, they're back into that and running hard again.
In what year, Colonel, did you join the military?
I joined in 1994.
Okay, so Bill Clinton was president.
He was.
Then you had George Bush. Then mm-hmm. you had Barack Obama. Then you got Donald Trump. So you had a couple of Democrats, a couple of Republicans. And when you're in your position, the party affiliation or the political leanings of a commander-in-chief are irrelevant, aren't they?
They absolutely are. I serve the people. I defend the Constitution. And the president is the commander-in-chief. And it's certainly I've really not seen any difference than that whatsoever.
Dan downtown. Dan, you're on the air with Skip Phillips, General Phillips, and Colonel Kreider, Eric Kreider. Hi, Dan.
Hi. General and Colonel, does the Army War College teach what General Patton had to say about the effectiveness of walls? They quote, "Fixed fortifications are monuments to the stupidity of man," end quote.
I may defer to Colonel Kreider on that. I would say the Army War College teaches its students how to think in a global strategic sense, and Jim read the mission, and it gives you an idea of the complexity of the kinds of things that we're training officers to be concerned about. So it's not so much the battlefield maneuvering and fixed fortifications issues as it might be global instruments of national power, such as just an economic structure that we have, or diplomatic relations that we have with other countries. So it's a bigger picture. I would probably say General Patton was maybe right, particularly in today's environment where we've got lots of whiz-bang toys and weapons that we can bring to bear in combat. But the thrust of the War College is a much broader, complex picture than just a battlefield operation.
Now, Colonel, you were, as I mentioned, are speaking in a lot of places, but I think you made a stop at the Manship School. You're talking to prospective journalists. What do you tell them?
So actually, they were fascinating engagements, right? So we had
engagements.
Engagements, right? With not only the educators out of there, but the students as well. And it was fantastic. A lot of conversations about climate, a lot of conversations about the future economy and how do we maintain mm-hmm. strength for the Department of Defense, but an economic strength as a whole, and how do we produce that?
All right. And a listener asks, what's your next stop today? If somebody wants to hear and see Colonel Kreider and Skip Phillips, General Phillips, where did they find you today?
We have people today at University High all morning and at Catholic High all morning, and Eric and I will be there one or both of those places later. They were at Runnels High School and Episcopal High School yesterday, in addition to LSU. So the idea for the outreach program is to talk to high school and college students about those topics. And a topic you'd find interesting, Jim, that's very popular, is just information. And what, how do you use information in the strategic military sense and convert that to something usable, usable intelligence? And the manship students were very, very engaged about that.
I suspect so. Information is power.
Indeed.
Well, Colonel, last word from you. What's the military done for you as a person? Has it been a game changer for you?
I think so. It opened me up to a much larger world than just Macon, Georgia. So I have become a man of the world.
Well, thanks for your service, and it's always good to see you, and congratulations on the continuing success and relevance of the U.S. Army War College. Major Phillips, always good to see you. See you at Louis.
Thank you, Jim. I'll see you there.
And we'll be back with another topic in 90 seconds.